Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y también.
Good morning to everyone who is connected through the satellite Amazonas and through the satellite Eutelsat 8 and through all means of communication through the internet as well. Today, Friday, January 19th of this year 2024. Greetings also to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin over there where he is at, and to all the ministers and all the brethren on this occasion. We have the subject, the trajectory of Elijah's ministry five times, preached on April 2nd, 2017, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. He read to us the scripture of the Mount of Transfiguration, which is in Matthew chapter 17. He began from chapter 16, verse 27 to 28, and then he turns to the 17th. And let us read the portion of Mark, Book of Mark, in chapter 9, where this portion tells us here, and let us see what our brother William tells us there in his writings. It says, Mark chapter 9, verse 1 and on says, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And there he draws a Star of David. And after 6 days, then he writes 6,000 years. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. In the 9th chapter of Luke, verse 28, in that portion, that part where Luke speaks, there he says, he writes 8, that is, Luke says, and it came to pass, chapter 9 of Luke. Let us turn to these chapters to see what our brother William wrote to us there, which has a great revelation. Notice, on verse 28 of chapter 9 of Luke, and it came to pass about an 8 days after, and there is where he writes, after the time of the apostles and the seven angels. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes, seven in the seventh age. And at the top in the cornerstone, he writes number 8. And he continues saying, in Mark 9, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And he writes at the bottom, there in this Bible, he writes, Revelation 10, 1 to 11, 11, 3 to 7, and 1. That is first chapter of Revelation. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And in this Bible he writes, after 6 days equals after six dispensations. 7 day equals seventh dispensation. 7th day equals seventh millennium. The kingdom of God equals the church. And Mark, continue saying, and Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. They didn't know what they were saying, see? At that point, they did not have that knowledge, the revelation of the fulfillment of what the second coming of the Lord would be. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And there he draws a Star of David. And he goes on to say, let us turn here to Luke. Where it says in verse chapter 9, verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white as glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Next to verse 31, he draws Star of David. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And there he draws another Star of David. And on verse 29 on this chapter 9 of Luke, there he also draws a Star of David. And below verse 30 he writes Moses and Elijah. Revelation 10, he writes Peter. That is Peter's scripture. But he did not place a number there. And he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 11, 14, 14 to 20, 19, 11 to 21, 17, 14, and 1, 16, and Daniel 2, 44 to 45. And let us turn to Mark, where we paused. In Mark chapter 9, it says, And suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more save Jesus only with themselves. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more save Jesus only with themselves. And as they come down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what thing they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first, and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things, and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And he writes in this part of Luke, where we have paragraph 9. Chapter 9, rather, verse 35. There he draws Star of David, and he writes, Deuteronomy 18:15-19. The trajectory of Elijah's ministry, 5 times. You may please be seated. Now, here in these chapters of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he tells us about everything that happened there on Mount Transfiguration, which was previously shown what the coming of the Lord would be in the writing of Scofield. There at the bottom, in Matthew, it says, the transfiguration scene contains in miniature all the elements of the future kingdom in manifestation. The kingdom, well, is the church. And the manifestation, well, it is the manifestation of God in the fulfillment of His coming. The Lord, not in humiliation, but in glory. Moses glorified representative of the redeemed who have passed through death into the kingdom. Elijah glorified representative of the redeemed who have entered the kingdom by translation. Peter, James, and John not glorified representatives for the moment of Israel in the flesh in the future kingdom. The multitude at the foot of the mountain, representative of the nations who are to be brought into the kingdom after it is established over Israel. That is why he underlines that there. Now notice that also here in Matthew at the bottom he writes, after 6 days equals after 6 dispensations. 7th day equals 7th dispensation. 7th day equals 7th millennium. Now notice, all of this, notice there are some other writings there that tomorrow we can go into it a little bit more fully. But notice, in the trajectory of the ministry of Elijah, in the divine program, which is a subject he preached there on December 3rd, 2011, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, with the subject Elijah's trajectory in the divine program, he says, and Elijah's ministry, since he is in the midst of the church, we then find him forerunning a fifth Elijah and also forerunning Moses and also forerunning the Messiah, the Christ. He is forerunning 3 at the same time, 3 ministries. And thus, they will first be in the midst of the church, in the midst of Christianity. and then in the midst of the Jews. It is the interlaced that he thought he was to carry out. In other words, the interlace between Gentiles and Hebrews. In other words, he thought he was going to carry out that interlace. But notice, it was not for his time, nor for the time when God was bringing us the good tidings. But rather, God was opening that way there for this end time. In other words, he was preparing the way, that mighty archangel, preparing the way, leaving everything ready, so that when that interlace was being fulfilled, that is the reality, not potentially, but the reality, the whole way would already be made. Because since it is a quick work, notice, that path had to be already made, so that in that quick work, a message that will go around the earth, a short message, as it says in other places, that will shake, see, the world. Now notice how each one of them, they desired, they longed for that blessing. And our brother William says, but he was not allowed to do it, because it was not the time yet. And it was not through the fourth ministry of Elijah, but rather, it has to be in the fifth ministry of Elijah. Now, why does it tell us in the book of Quotations on page 165, it says on Quotations, paragraph 1471, that wasn't Elijah. That was the Spirit of God in Elijah. Elijah was just a man. Now we've had Elijah's and Elijah's coats and Elijah's mantles and Elijah's everything. But the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to come according to Matthew the 17th. Luke 17:30 is, the Son of Man is to reveal himself among his people. Not a man, God. But he'll come through a prophet. Now, he never had two major prophets at the same time, never in the world. And remember that, if it was so, our brother William said, one would belong to one dispensation and the other to another dispensation. If they are two major prophets, if they are two prophets of ages, well, one would belong to a past age and the other one to another age, the age coming up, but never ministering at that same time, in that same age or in that same dispensation. Now, the Spirit of Elijah, notice, is manifested by the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that is operating that ministry, because the Holy Spirit is the one who operates ministries. Now, our brother William goes on to say, that is why on one occasion he said, from the west will come a white horse rider. We'll ride this trail again. If the ministry of Elijah, the one who is in the fourth manifestation, is going to ride it once more, well, that's the fifth time, which in page 166 in the book of Quotations, paragraph 1485, it tells us. Now, there, I was getting pretty old, and I thought, will there be another revival? I'll see another time, and just remember, from the west will come a white horse rider. We'll ride this trail again. And he writes, fifth Elijah and second Moses. That's right. As soon as we get ready, it's a promise, you see? In other words, he writes there above, we'll ride. Because the ministry of Elijah is accompanied by the ministry of Moses, of which our brother William continues to say, and it will be with Moses. Therefore, the ministry of Elijah, also of Moses, will be in the midst of Christianity, and from there to the Hebrew people. There is where the interlace will take place. The interlace did not take place with the Reverend William Branham, nor with our beloved brother Dr. William Soto Santiago. There was no such event of passing the gospel to the Jews, just as Peter and Paul brought it to the Gentiles. The gospel will return, it says in the book of the ages, to the Hebrews, and the rapture will take place. In other words, it didn't happen in either one of those occasions. And of course, the rapture did not take place, because it is through the ministries of Moses and Elijah that the gospel is taken to the Hebrews, and then the rapture will take place. In other words, in order for a rapture to occur, there has to be a resurrection and transformation. Therefore, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, has to take the gospel to the Hebrews through those ministries, which must be operated in human flesh. Surely the Lord will do nothing without first revealing His secrets to His servants, His prophets. Amos 3:7. In other words, for God to fulfill that promise, notice, it was shown on Mount Transfiguration, the order of His coming at the last day. Now, he goes on to say, notice, also here is where he tells us that he will call Moses with him. That is on page, let us see here, page 57, from paragraph 494, it says, on page 57 says, the spirit of Elijah off of this Gentile church will just continue right on into that Jewish church. There he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and from the seven ancient arrow, and a little arrow there toward the cornerstone. That is, that ministry passes from the seventh age. It passes on to the age of the cornerstone. Go right on in and call Moses with him. Hallelujah. You see it? And he will preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews. And he writes, year of Jubilee, Leviticus 25th, that they rejected the Messiah. Amen. You see it? It will be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them. And he writes, the Jewish age, the Gentile age. And he writes, the Jewish age equals dispensation of the kingdom, an age of the cornerstone. And he draws a little cornerstone. Now, our brother William continues to say, and all of that is linked to a vision, the tenth vision. One cannot unlink one thing from the other. That is, you cannot unlink that ministry of Moses and Elijah from the tenth vision, from the fulfillment of the tenth vision. And it has to be through an instrument, through a veil of flesh, who is alive. They cannot add to it or take away from the word. Those who say that we still need our brother William to come and finish the work, they're adding there to the word, because God has never worked that way. And since they do not accept the manner, the way provided by God at this end time, well, then they begin to add or take away from the word, which are added plagues, or their names will be blotted out from the book of life. Because a person like that is not written in the Lamb's book of life. A person who speaks that way and who fights against the divine program. Now, he goes on to say, the third pool will be for the bride. Therefore, the Spirit of God will be manifesting that third pool in the midst of the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does God always manifest Himself in the midst of the human race? Through a veil of flesh. And that veil of flesh would be manifesting that third pool. It will also be for the foolish virgins, that is Christianity, all of it. It will impact all of Christianity, and it will be for the world as well. That is on page 119, from paragraph 1057 at the end, where it tells us that the third pool will be for the bride. It says, let us read that part there. Just before it says, and we have to wait just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes. And then when that time comes, and the press comes to a place where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pool then, see? And it'll be absolutely to the total loss, but it will be for the bride and the church. The church are the foolish. And he continues saying, which is what our brother William is telling us here. And it will be also for the world, and the world as well, mankind, will be impacted in every sphere. The spheres of mankind will be impacted. And it will impact the Jews as well. Because when they see Christ coming for his church, for his bride, they will say, this is the one we are waiting for. But he is coming for his church to give them the faith to be transformed and raptured and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, many people may say that when they see him coming for his church to give them the rapturing faith, that he will come as the religious leaders of the Hebrew religion thought he was going to come back then. That he was going to come from heaven and the heaven would open up and a grand event was going to take place. All pumped up. And they were going to identify him right away. Because imagine, something supernatural like that, coming to the midst of the Hebrew people, well, everybody would identify him and he would come down there and judge there and all things they invented. But when that scripture was fulfilled, notice that then it was not the way they were expecting it. It came to them in a simple carpenter from Nazareth. In other words, the fulfillment of what they were waiting for, they already had it there. For 29 and a half years in their midst. He grew up in their midst, right before their faces, in front of them. He was there. That's why it was common for them to talk to him like that. But isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? We know his relatives. We know his brothers and sisters. How can this man say he's the Messiah? Now notice that when the Hebrew people at this end time, they may say, as our brother William says here, our brother Branham speaks of it, where he says there on page, which is paragraph 176, page 22, where it says, and there's them two witnesses. And when they tormented the church or the world by their preaching, notice, how do they torment the world? By their preaching. There you see it. To them, that is a torment. And they gnash their teeth and get upset. Those are those spirits from the fifth dimension in those people, which upset them, and that's tormenting them. Later on, they will be tormented in hell. But first is fulfilled here, in this part. Now notice, and there's them two witnesses, and when they tormented the church or the world by their preaching, and received back the Jews, and bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe on, when they see Jesus coming for the bride, they'll say, lo, this is our God who we waited on. That's him. But he's not coming for them. He come for his bride. Now, when will they see him? Notice. When at that time, he's bringing the bride, the rapturing faith, which is this end time, which is what we're living. And you can already see that effect, that by the spoken word, many people are already being tormented, many religious leaders, because everything begins in a progressive way. And that torment begins, see? And in the midst of all of that, for the Hebrew people to then identify him, will be when that part, that stage of the signs and physical miracles is happening, which is to the church bride a vindication of all that work and ministry under the tent, bringing the rapturing faith, the word being spoken in the midst of his church, the thunders. Now notice, they were expecting him there in a certain way, and he came to them in another way, of which it tells us here in the message, The Unveiling of God, page 17, it says, then Paul, after his death, burial, and resurrection, on his road to Damascus, there was the pillar of fire again. What was it? Out from behind the veil. Glory to God. He was in behind the veil. Now, notice this here. He was in behind the veil. Now, he was behind what? Skin veil. See? Badger skins. Behind the veil, that is in the temple in the most holy place, there he was behind the veil. And when that veil was rent on the day of crucifixion, the veil that he was wrapped in was rent on the day of the crucifixion. The whole mercy seat came into view. Now notice how the veil, and let us go further on here, just further down, so you can see something here. It says, now, the Jews could not understand how that God could have mercy upon a sinful, foul people like we are. But they couldn't see this one who was given mercy, because he was hid. That is, he was given mercy until that perfect sacrifice was carried out during the dispensation of the law through the goat. The sins were forgiven. But remember that they were not taken away. They were only covered. And they did not understand how that was, because they could not see behind that veil that was placed there in the most holy place. Those badger skins. Now, it was hidden. They didn't know who was giving mercy. He was behind the mercy seat on the inside, with badger skins hanging down, covering him. Before, if any man walked in behind that veil, it was sudden death. Now look. At this end time, to see the judgment seat, the throne of judgment, they do not realize that the judgment seat, that throne of judgment, is in plain view, which was not seen before. Back then, you could not see the mercy seat that was there during the ages and before then, in the dispensation of the law. That most holy place was covered with those badger skins. And the glory of God, the pillar of fire, could not be seen there. Then, on that crucifixion day, notice, the veil was torn in two, and they could see the one who was carrying out those sacrifices that the people, that the priest carried out for the people. They could then see him, who imparted mercy. The sins were covered, but by God carrying out that perfect sacrifice there, then they were taken away. And they were able to see the one who imparted mercy. And throughout the ages, the Holy Spirit has been, after it was poured out there on the day of Pentecost, through the apostles, then through each angel messenger, and the people in each age have received that mercy. They have received that work of sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And they have seen him imparting mercy, veiled and revealed in each angel messenger of each age. Now, it was said that this throne was going to change into a throne of judgment. So, what he tells us there in Luke, that in verse 29 on the 9th chapter, he says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. So notice that for his second coming in judgment, with the title of the Son of Man, which is a prophet, and Son of David, notice, there then the world will then be able to see behind the veil. And they will be able to see the fulfillment as judge, as Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, notice what he continues saying here. Before, if any man walked in behind that veil, it was sudden death. Amen. Oh, we're going to get a lesson here in a minute. See, if you can receive it. To walk behind them skins, even one of the priest's son tried to do it one time and died. Don't go behind that veil. That was the sons of Aaron back then. Notice. The man that walked behind, why? There was no redemption yet in that. It was potentially. It was just potential. And anything potential is not the real thing yet. And there he draws Star of David. And he writes, something potential is not the real thing yet. See, just potentially. It was redemption. Sin was covered. Not omitted. Remitted, rather. Not remitted. Remitted is divorced and put away. And so the blood of the sheep and goats could not do that. So Jehovah was hid behind a veil. Now, back behind this veil, where he was hid, to enter into that, a man dropped dead to try to enter into it. But since Pentecost, since the crucifixion, when that veil was rent from the top to the bottom for that generation, Jesus was that God veiled. And when he died at Calvary, God sent fire and lightning and ripped that veil from top to bottom, that the whole mercy seed was in plain view. And that's how it is in this end time. Because that throne of judgment is in plain view. Back then it was in plain view by looking at Jesus. But they were too blind to see it. As Moses said here, and there he writes, God sent fire, lightning, etc. to rip the veil. Though Paul said, reading of Moses, when Moses is read, yet that veil is still on their heart. Oh, brother, sister, that's what the Jews did when the veil was rent and brought God into plain view, hanging on the cross. And likewise, He will be in front of them in plain view, laying there, placed there, as it says in Revelation 11. He will be in plain view of them. And He draws the Star of David there. Could it be possible that the Gentiles had did the same thing? And there He writes, in the second coming, the Gentiles do the same thing that the Jews did in the first coming. Oh God, when they had the church ages of the Son of God, but when now the veil of these denominations and things, this veil of tradition that we've got since Pentecost, when the church tradition has been rent, the things that the people said, days of miracles is past, and these things, and God has took the veil off of it and brought it in plain view, and they're ready to crucify it again, just exactly like. And a little further down, oh, let's continue there, because, look, this here is very important. He goes on saying, the unveiled God, plain view, they should have seen Him standing there. Yet, He was too common. He was an ordinary man. They couldn't see it. See, there stood a man. Well, they said, this guy, what school did he come from? But remember, when that spirit struck his body, that spirit left him, the temple. The sacrifices block turned over, and the lightning whipped down through the temple and rent the veil. What was it? There was their God hanging on Calvary. There was their God hanging on Calvary, and they were too blind to see it. Brought Him in open view, and still they don't see it. They're blinded. God veiled in a human being. And there He draws Star of David. And all of that is parallel in His second coming, because it will be parallel in everything. And God has put in plain view, He has put Him in plain sight, and they still don't see Him. They're waiting for something supernatural. They're waiting for Him to come their way and fulfill that promise their way. But here, God shows us how He was fulfilling those scriptures before their eyes, and they could not see Him, they could not recognize Him, because of the simple way in which He fulfilled it. In other words, they did not search. They may have had the letter, they may have had the messages, yet, since they did not have the revelation, and they did not understand the divine program, then they adjusted that letter their own way, to satisfy their unbelief. You remember, He returned then to Paul after that, and to Peter in the prison as the pillar of fire. Remember that? But in the last days, He is supposed to return again. But a pillar of fire is supposed to come back again to manifest the Son of Man, see? To show the Word, the light. The traditions will be wiped away. There is nothing going to bother it. It's going to be done anyhow. God just tears them denominations and traditions down. And there He draws Star of David. Notice, it's like He says, dismantles. He dismantles everything that they were doing, which was denominational. What kind of a spirit will He do with it? Like He did in the first place. Look what He done in the days of Elijah, in the days of John. Don't you think to say within yourself you have Abraham to the Father? Because God is able of these stones to raise children to Abraham, see? Don't you think, because I belong to this and I belong to that, see? God tearing off the veil, see, to show who He is. See, watch the veil when it rents here now. We find now. Now, and one time, if a man walked through that veil, it was sudden death. Now it's death not to go through it. Amen. If you can't break that veil of tradition, break through that wall of denomination, to see God in His power, it's death. There He draws Star of David. That is, if you do not break that denominational wall, you will never be able to see that throne of judgment. But for God's elect, for those who receive His message, they receive mercy. That is why not to go behind that veil today is death. And going in is to receive mercy, because He is no longer making intercession, and He is no longer there to look upon as the fulfillment of His first coming. Now, it is not looking at Jesus in the fulfillment of His first coming. Now is to look at the Son of Man with His face altered, transfigured. He was transfigured before them, it says here. That is, before the disciples themselves. And before the church bride herself, notice, He is fulfilling that promise of the coming of the Son of Man with His angels, with the ministries of Moses and Elijah being manifested in the midst of the church to bring to them the bride that is ready, that is about to be raptured, to bring her what? The rapture in faith. Once where it was death to go in, now it's death to stay out. The whole mercy seat is setting in plain view. Anybody can see it. The veil is rent. And he writes, the mercy seat. The whole mercy seat comes into plain view. Now remember that the mercy seat, under the dispensation of grace, was Jesus. It was Jesus Christ. And now, the judgment seat is the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is promised to be manifested in the midst of His church in a great tent cathedral. It is His Holy Spirit ministering, operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Everything is simple. It is all about locating where the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ is working at the time in which the person is living. Now, notice, our brother William continues saying, therefore, first, the Spirit of God is to carry out a work in the midst of the church, in the midst of the spiritual mountain of Zion, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are the ones that are under the new covenant. In the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, tells us on page 50, it says, and now, today, He wants to get somebody, then He writes, Moses and Elijah, that can so see it, and above He writes, see it clearly, that they can let the word see Jesus so seeing it so, was so perfectly born for the day until God expressed every move that He made. He was God's revelation, God revealed. Now, He sanctified with His Spirit and blood a church, that He might make every promise in this last day be revealed. And He writes, today. Revealed today. He also wrote that there. Now, see, He could go back and pick up what these other fellows have left off here in the last days, and by His Holy Spirit, reveal all the mysteries of the seven seals. See? He is expressing Himself. That's His purpose. That's why He died. That's the second fold of His trifold manifestation. First, to express Himself in Christ, then express Himself through the church, and the same thing, Christ was the Word. And the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. But when they accept a hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? That is, when a church, notice, when a church becomes denominationalized there, the word does not flow. What he says here further down, it says, is grounded. That is, it creates the ground. Then it causes a short and blows a fuse, see? In other words, there are already many churches that have blown their fuse. They are spiritually burned out. And they don't know it. But when the current is flowing freely, the word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do shall ye be also. That is why that group, where they can place the word correctly, see, that is the group that will never be denominationalized, because those ministries are in her midst. And then there is where the word flows in the midst of the church. Why doesn't it flow in the others, in that 1% that is represented there in Judas Iscariot? Look, from 12:1, that 1% against that group of those 11, and against Christ, against Jesus. In other words, Judas represents those who at the same time, which is a small group, attack that group which has the word flowing in her midst. And notice, also another angle, the small group of chosen ones of God compared to all Christianity, well, that is a small group. And there you have both angles to satisfy the need of many people who say that we are part of the small group. But notice, they are of the small group and they are the ones who attack. So they are then identified to which small group they belong to. Of course it is a small group. Well, if they are on the side of God and His work, compared to Christianity, a little group, is a small group. But if the small group that is attacking the Word of God, the divine program, which was foreshadowed by the Reverend William Branham and the good tidings brought to us by the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, manifested in William Soto Santiago, God operating His Word there and bringing us the good tidings. Well, when that fulfillment is being made known, everything they spoke, and God is fulfilling it, well, those people who are against that program, well, they are there represented in that small group of Judas Iscariot. As simple as that. And he goes on to say, and in the last days it shall come to pass, behold, I send to you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church, have the preeminences in his church. Oh my, what? The anointed man, now the anointed people, oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by what? Acceptum. What Eve turned down, and Adam. In other words, those who at the same time reject the message that the Reverend William Branham brought us, and the message that Dr. William Soto Santiago brought us, whoever rejects that message, well, they are rejecting like Eve did. And they may say, no, we are not rejecting the message. We do believe it, that message. Yeah, but the fulfillment of that word, of that message, which is before you, you're rejecting it. Therefore, you are rejecting the message because you have in plain view the fulfillment of that message. And you don't want to accept it. Therefore, you have rejected the message of Brother Branham and the message of Brother William. Accepting, that is, that anointed bride, accepting what Eve turned down and Adam, coming back with the anointing of the word, because he said, my word is spirit. See, anointed with the word. What Eve turned down, and he writes, title deed, he comes back and we accept it. See, how that hybrid condition, that is, of the denominations, which reject the title deed like Eve did back then. Again, just exactly what he done Eve. He told Eve, don't you do this and don't you do that. And you can't do this and that. And he writes, the anointed ones with the word on the right side. And on the left side, he writes, God incarnate. And at the bottom, he writes, today, bride accepts what Adam and Eve rejected, which was the word, the title deed. Notice that part now rejects like Eve did, which Judas Iscariot did back then. He rejected the word. And in Eve's time, he says here that they rejected the title deed. But at the same time, the church bride, where the current, the word flows in her midst, she does, accepts, and receives that title deed. Now, notice. He goes on to say, and Satan said, that is to Eve, oh, you know, but she turned around and listened to him. But the Eve in the last days is not going to do it, because she's predestinated not to do it. Yes, sir. God's going to do it. He knows. He'll have it. He said his church would be there without spot or a wrinkle. In other words, he's telling us the same thing he said back then to Adam and Eve. He was telling them, notice, he told Eve, don't do this nor that, but you can do this over here. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire, is telling us at this end time? Look, this is like this. Don't do this like that. God is not pleased of this. God is pleased with this. Here is what Brother Branham says. Here is what Brother William says. Here is this. Fix this. Let us go on fixing. Let us go into holiness. We're on our way to holiness. The same thing he told back then to Adam and Eve. Walking to be perfect. Now she turned away. She didn't want to hear that. The same thing they do now. No, look, now this man says he can't wear makeup. Or we can't cut our hair. Or we can't wear pants. The women. See? They reject the same thing that Eve rejected. They turn their back on it. They turn their faces away. That's not for me. It's the same thing that happened back then. But here it says that there is an Eve who does. He says that she will not do it. He says, God's going to do it. He knows. He'll have it. He said his church would be there without spot or a wrinkle. And we do know that the perfection will be then when we get to fully be in perfection with that eternal and glorified body. But to get that far, there are some requirements there. Not just anyone can come before the presence of God without correcting himself. He goes on saying, she is going to stand there in the splendor of him, his word made manifest. She'll be a token to the world. She'll be an example. She'll be something to the world that the world can look and say, well, the rest of the world say, she's a holy roller. Now, notice, all this is going to be fulfilled and is being fulfilled before receiving that eternal and glorified body. And many have already, they've started saying, and even those at the home, well, this woman is a fanatic. How are you going to stop doing this or that? They're going to make fun of you when you go to work or when you go here or there or you go shopping. They're going to point at you and you're not fashionable. You're not in style, as they say. Now notice, it will be a sign, an example to the world. It will be something, notice, that the world will be able to see and say, she's a fanatic. She's the second cousin. She don't belong to our group. I know, that's a good thing. She belongs to this group up here. From where? From the age of the cornerstone. In other words, they cannot come to say, we are up here in the age of the cornerstone. We are. Your works will show whether you are there. and the most important thing. Have you broken through the veil? Have you come in behind the veil? Because not breaking through the veil is death at this end time. To break through the veil is to receive the rapturing faith. Our brother William continues saying in the message we are reading, and now, the Holy Spirit is the one that will be operating those ministries at the last day in the midst of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the trajectory of the divine program, which will come to its climax in the fulfillment of the 10th vision. There will be the climax of the divine program for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and for all those who are in paradise. Why? Because that manifestation there is both for the blessing of the church bride that is alive in this end time, as well as for those who are in paradise. For the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall rise. In other words, for them, that ministry that God is operating in the midst of the great 10th cathedral is a great blessing, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah and of Jesus. He continues saying, therefore, that is going to become a reality in this end time. God is and will be in that project of that 10th vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, and that is in the midst of Christianity first, and will also impact the Jews. To work on a divine project that has already been shown in a vision is to work with certainty, like Moses worked with the people in the building of the tabernacle, and like Solomon also worked in the building of the temple there in Jerusalem. And further down in the same message he says, so, the ministries of Moses and Elijah and Jesus are going to appear in that project at the last day. Also, those ministries are going to appear there. But he had told us that those ministries were in the midst of the church. He said so in several messages. Now notice, understand, that was all potentially. Now we are in the reality. He says, it will be the Holy Spirit operating those ministries on behalf of the believers in Christ to give them the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when you tell them that, some of them say, oh yeah, that's right. No, but that's when he comes back. Then they look for an interpretation to satisfy their unbelief. And then, right there, they begin to add to the word. They do not see or do not want to see that God has always used veils of flesh, instruments. Because God changes. God is in morphe, changing masks, changing instruments, veils of flesh. He continued to say, everything that has been shown is going to be fulfilled. But even after that project is built, the one who has the order of what he is going to do is God. We don't know when God will perform the miracles, but the miracles will be like a confirmation of the word that God will be giving us in the fulfillment of the 10th vision. Notice how clearly he tells them there. And they hear that, oh no, that is not being fulfilled yet. Because that is when he comes back. He's going to come back and preach. He's going to bring us the rapturing faith. And that is already happening right under their noses. God fulfilling his word. And that is the greatest miracle. No, the miracles have not happened yet. Or this or that has not happened yet. Wait. First is the church bride. The rapturing faith is being given to the bride first. Once the church bride of the Lord has the rapturing faith, then they will see how those things will begin to be fulfilled physically. Although they can beforehand, those physical things can go on being fulfilled progressively. There are many testimonies of people who have already been healed by faith, believing with all their heart and putting their faith on the promises of God for this time and in the fulfillment of His promise at this time. And all of that will continue progressively. And, like for example, the spiritual death of the people who have crossed the line. They may continue with their life like normal and seemingly nothing has happened to them. But they have already been spiritually dead for a while and they do not know it. Now he goes on to say, I'll read this sentence again. We don't know when God will perform the miracles, but the miracles will be like a confirmation of the word that God will be given us in the fulfillment of the 10th vision. If there is word, it's because there is preaching. And if there is preaching, it's because there is a voice. There is an instrument of God, which he is using in the midst of his church. The most important thing is the word, because that is what will give the believers in Christ the faith to be transformed. The rapturing faith comes by the revealed word that will be given. And that will be the last trumpet, or great voice of the trumpet. Those are the seven thunders uttering their voices, because the thunders contain the secret of the seventh seal, the secret of the coming of the Lord, which when he spoke about the thunders, notice, he was speaking about what would happen in the great tenth cathedral, where the thunders would be uttered and would be making known the seventh seal, giving the church bride the rapturing faith. On page 35 in the Book of Quotations, tells us on paragraph 293, he says, many of the meeting from my new ministry coming in, a brother, Baptist brother standing here, his daughter teenage, had been kind of a little wayward, and when he went home, she is saved. And the other one here this morning, to be baptized and go on. And a man, Mr. Southman, a friend of mine from Canada, his mother-in-law in a dying condition, said, you'll find your mother-in-law when you get there well, on her road to recovery, all right. That's just the way it was. And just people just coming in. It's just in its infancy now, moving. But oh, we're expecting the exceedingly, abundantly above all. We're in the evil and last days, but in a glorious hour. And he writes, the infancy of the new ministry. And above he writes, through a prophet, third pull equals to speak the word. Which is what our brother William was telling us here. He left us said that the miracles will be a confirmation of that word that God is giving us by a prophet at this end time, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision. And what word is he giving us? Well, the rapturing faith, which is the word being spoken, being revealed, which he is giving us, and that will be what? The last trumpet. That is the voice of Christ, the great voice of the trumpet, which are the seven thunders revealing the mystery of the seventh seal, the mystery of the second coming of the Lord. The trajectory of Elijah's ministry five times. Let us stand up and thus immediately leave with us in this subject that we have for today. The trajectory of the ministry of Elijah for five times. Our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.